This is 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, and welcome to the April edition of First Friday Focus on the Environment. On the first Friday of each month, we explore issues vital to the health and well-being of the environment in Michigan. My co-host is Lisa Wozniak, and Lisa is the Executive Director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters. And Lisa, always good to be with you, even if virtually, for the last year plus.
It's always wonderful to be here with you too, David. And we have a great guest this month. Jennifer Haverkamp is with us again. She is the director of the Graham Sustainability Institute at the University of Michigan and served as co-chair of President Mark Schlissel's Commission on Carbon Neutrality. Welcome back to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you so much. It's good to be here.
As we get underway, I do want to note that up until the release of the Commission's final report and recommendations a few weeks back, Lisa Wozniak did serve as a member from its inception in 2019.
Yeah, thank you very much for adding that context, David. I was proud to play a role on the Commission, and I hope that every university and every institution, for that matter, can take a hard look in the mirror at their carbon footprint and work to address it as the University of Michigan has.
Jennifer, before we dive into the Carbon Neutrality Commission's work and final report over the last 2 years, I want to talk about a related issue. For years, there's been almost relentless pressure from students and some members of the faculty and staff to have U of M administration divest its holding in fossil fuel industries. As late as 2015, President Schlissel was holding fast that the U of M was dependent on those industries and its investments in it. Now, the administration has obviously announced its plans to divest. What changed in a period of only 6 years?
Well, David, the Carbon Neutrality Commission and I personally were not involved in the region's decisions on investment. We were instructed not to make that part of our charge, I guess in part because the regents were taking up the issue separately. I think that over the last several years, there have been a lot of factors that have increased the understanding of the great urgency of addressing climate change. And this is seen in the work across the university more broadly than just the work of our commission.
And Jennifer, I totally agree with you that that was not part of our charge. I'm curious, you have your thoughts on the region's decisions the other day, which included the approval of $140 million in new investments related to renewable energy and sustainable energy infrastructure. How do you see the region's decision playing into the larger effort as we laid out in the overall neutrality plan?
Sure. I guess I would also first want to say that though it wasn't part of our charge, I think I, Lisa, other members of our commission very much welcomed the university taking these bold steps with regard to sustainable investing and mitigating their climate risk. The investment in renewable energy, I think, is a very important signal because the way to get to a low carbon future is through great investments in renewable energy. And those are increasingly going to be the ones that make more financial sense for institutions like the University of Michigan, as well as other investors.
This is WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. We have Lisa Wozniak, my co-host from the Michigan League of Conservation Voters, and we're talking with Jennifer Haverkamp, director of the Graham Sustainability Institute at the University of Michigan. She also served as co-chair of President Mark Schlissel's Commission on Carbon Neutrality.
So earlier this month, the commission that you and I both served on released the final report and recommendations. And this is a thorough and very detailed plan that was put together, as you and I both know, over a two-year time frame. What are some of the most critical findings and recommendations that you would bring to the fore?
Sure. I think what's especially noteworthy about our plan is that we took a comprehensive approach to the question. So we looked at emissions across all the different ways that they are emitted by the university itself, by the electricity we purchase, by the emissions attributable to us that are happening off campus. We also looked at all three of our campuses, Flint, Dearborn, and Ann Arbor. We included Michigan Medicine within our charge. So it's comprehensive. We also then took a really deep and hard look at analytically, how could you get to zero carbon neutrality, and by when? And it wasn't just let's set a goal date and figure it out later. It was we came together and recommended specific pathways. I think one of the biggest ones facing us is the need to transition the university's heat and power infrastructure away from a steam-based system that is whose energy source is natural gas. And so we hired an outside consultant who has recommended that we work toward a new hot water system that is fueled by renewable electricity and made much more efficient by an extensive geothermal exchange program. Even more important, though, is I think our recommendations around institutional organization and culture. As you could tell from what I just described, that project will take possibly 2 decades. And so what we need is to establish the institutional arrangements at the university and the culture of commitment to addressing carbon neutrality over the long run.
And Lisa, I want to kind of go further down that path with you. As head of an environmental advocacy organization, you know leadership is key. What conclusions were made about needed changes in the U of M institutional culture and ensuring accountability from top down?
Yeah, there were a number of things that we discussed quite deeply as a commission. And the things that we brought to the fore in the report that I strongly support are the following. One is to make sure that as the administration embraces this plan, that there's a deep commitment to using environmental justice guiding principles and expertise at the core. And that means in all future deliberations and decision-making and the implementation of the overall plan. Also incredibly important is the establishment of executive leadership, a position reporting directly to and advising the president, whose office and staff have the responsibility for doing everything from planning and coordinating university-wide efforts, working across all three campuses, engaging stakeholders, facilitating partnerships. As Jennifer pointed out, this is a big project. It's a big and complex university, and it needs that kind of leadership at the executive level. And the last thing I would say is that making sure that the executive leadership has the kind of support and advice that it needs on this. And so establishing both institutional advisory committee and a community advisory committee to get the best minds really surrounding and enveloping and supporting this new effort is going to be very, very important.
Once again, this is First Friday Focus on the Environment on 89.1 WEMU. The voice you just heard is Lisa Wozniak, and she and I are joined by the director of the Graham Sustainability Institute at the University of Michigan, Jennifer Haverkamp.
So, Jennifer, achieving neutrality means having to travel a number of different paths, and some long-term and others shorter-term. And I'd love to have you speak about some actions the commission identified as ready to implement right now.
Sure. I think that one that may not be immediately implementable but needs to be started right away is, building on what you just said, Lisa, setting up the role of the executive leader so that the institution hires the people to implement the plan and gets that started as soon as possible. The president and regents will decide which of our recommendations to implement and in what order, but I think that one that they could probably move on quickly is to address where we purchase our electricity to ensure that it is renewable. And to do that, they can put out a request for proposals to solicit bids for either from our utilities or from other sources for purchasing the rest of the university's electricity from renewable sources. We already have a power purchase agreement with DTE that is coming online this spring that brings in half of our purchased electricity from wind power. So one thing that we should be working on quickly is the second half of our purchased electricity. Another thing I think that could be implemented quickly is to put in place the internal carbon price across the schools and colleges so that they get the right signals for reducing their demand for energy and that money is put into an internal renewable energy fund for investing in energy efficiency projects across the university.
And what of longer-term funding as we talk about a decades-long process?
Well, I think that longer-term funding are decisions, again, that the university will have to make, and there are a range of possibilities that include potentially debt. I think there may be potential in the new federal administration in Washington for investments in potentially pilot projects at the university. I think there will also be hard choices that have to be made in terms of trade-offs across other university priorities.
The university is connected in so many ways, and we took a long time to discuss all of that at the commission level with our food systems, water usage, waste disposal, travel and transportation. The commission took time to dig into these arenas, and I would really love to hear you talk a little bit about how, maybe some examples, a sense of how the commission recommended addressing and measuring the emissions across these sectors.
Sure. And some of these are areas where we don't have a lot of control, but where we can educate people, where we can set up incentives to change behavior over time. One of those that I think is really important is with respect to commuting. Many of the emissions that the university is responsible for come from the people who have to travel to and from it for their jobs. And so we have recommendations around creating different incentives for driving your personal vehicle through the parking fees. We have recommendations around making it easier to use electric vehicles, recommendations around greater public investments in public transportation. We have other recommendations that go into things like the cafeterias and what kind of food people might develop preferences for that are lower carbon. We have recommendations to get the university to think differently about how much faculty and staff need to travel for their jobs, because aviation is such a big contributor to greenhouse gas emissions.
At the outset, Jennifer, I mentioned how important the student body has been in pushing the school and its administration towards this notion of carbon neutrality. Is there going to be ongoing opportunities for students, faculty, and stakeholders outside of the university to continue to engage with the final commission report or its implementation?
Absolutely. And knowing the passion of the students, I know that they would find ways to engage even if there weren't formal mechanisms. but I would expect there'd be student participation on these advisory groups that we're talking about. But also, many of our recommendations recognize that the students are both the university's most valuable product, if you will. So they look to very much beefing up the curriculum and the education and cultural education of students while they are here on campus, so that after they graduate, they continue to contribute to climate solutions throughout the rest of their lives. And we also, I think, will be looking for ways to involve students in the training of the rest of the university. So I would be shocked if we did not have great student involvement in this process going forward.
One final question. It is a long, thorough, and detailed plan. If implemented as desired, when will the entirety of the university's footprint become carbon neutral?
There are two answers to that, and the first one, I think, is how long do we think it would take for us to, at a technical level, eliminate all of our emissions? And we believe that that is doable by the year 2040. However, we recognize that the urgency of the climate crisis calls for institutions like the University of Michigan with the ability to act faster to do so. And so we include recommendations for the university to purchase or create projects that offset our emissions. And through the use of carbon offsets, we believe that the university, for at least our own direct emissions and the electricity we purchase, could be carbon neutral by the year 2025.
I'd like to thank you so much for the time and for sharing the information today. It is greatly appreciated.
It's my pleasure to be on the show, and I look forward to the university taking this bold action forward.
That is Jennifer Haverkamp, the director of the Graham Sustainability Institute at the University of Michigan. She also served as co-chair of President Schlissel's Carbon Neutrality Commission. Lisa Wozniak also served as a member of the U of M Carbon Neutrality Commission and is currently executive director of the Michigan League of Conservation Voters and our content partner for First Friday Focus on the Environment. I will look forward to talking with you again next month.
I look forward to it, David. Thank you, and thank Jennifer for a great conversation.
I'm David Fair, and this is 89.1 WEMU-FM and WEMU HD1 Ypsilanti.